This is The Food Fix, a podcast where we talk to researchers and innovators about how to better feed the world. Hello. I always appreciate you joining me for another episode of The Food Fix, but I appreciate it a little extra today, because this is the last time I'll be your host, Taylor Halterman. If you heard the last episode, you know I'm in the process of earning my master's degree in environment and science journalism here at Michigan State University, and reviving this podcast is my professional project. By the time you are hearing this, I will have defended that project, know whether or not it has been approved, and whether I've earned my degree, therefore ending my time with the podcast. Hopefully I've got good news, or I guess this introduction will be a bit awkward to look back on. But don't worry, this isn't the end of The Food Fix. Another host will take over. Until then, I've got one last exciting episode from me to you, all about a simple way to improve your cardiovascular health. Let's get into it. I don't know if you've noticed the uptick in avocado consumption over the past few years. Maybe I just watch too many cooking shows. But social media and the Food Network definitely influenced me to start cooking with avocados more frequently. I'm eating avocado toast, guacamole with chips, topping black bean burgers with it. Honestly, I'm willing to slice it up and put it on anything. It's become a staple. And I'm not alone. Lorena Sonia Pacheco, a postdoctoral research fellow in the Department of Nutrition at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health, knows some research that more than backs up my observation. Here she is to explain.
The popularity of avocado has skyrocketed in recent years, and I had a seminar at the department and shared this with folks, and they were really surprised. So the intake is greater now, of course, overall, but mostly in the younger population. So definitely a millennial food, avocado toast. But avocados were deemed a U.S. culinary trend since the 90s, so its consumption climbed sharply. Even like 600% between 1989 and 1980 to 2019, 2020, at least that's like the latest data that we have. There has been a rapid increase in US per capita consumption of avocados from about 1 pound in 1989, 1990 to an estimated 9.3 pounds. In 2019, 2020. There's some literature saying that some of the contributed factors for the growth is, you know, growing of the U.S. Hispanic and Caribbean population over the years, that's like something very traditional in their diet, consumer trends towards ethnic as well as other health-promoting foods, designation of avocados as superfood, as I mentioned earlier, and then a highly effective avocado promotion.
And all this avocado consumption just might be a great thing, because Lorena is the lead author of a study recently published in the Journal of the American Heart Association that found that eating at least 2 servings of avocado a week might lower your risk of cardiovascular disease, and replacing products like butter, cheese, or bacon with avocado can lower risk of cardiovascular disease events. But what makes avocados so special?
So avocados are a nutrient-rich food item with favorable food compounds, including monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fats. So those are healthy fats. Also, they contain vitamins, minerals, soluble fiber, vegetable proteins, phytosterols, and polyphenols. There are potential biological mechanisms by which avocados offer a cardioprotective benefits. The primary way is that monounsaturated fat, fatty acids present in avocados is oleic acid, a healthy fat, and is suggested that it helps in reducing hypertension, inflammation, and insulin sensitivity. So it's a whole conglomerate right there. Additionally, they contain plant sterols, which are the phytosterols that I just mentioned, that could have favorable effects on lipid profiles, so that positively affects your lipids. As well, the soluble fiber intake in avocados can also lead to a better lipid profile, meaning lower bad cholesterol levels.
There were a few reasons this study piqued my interest that I think you'll be intrigued by too. this study is a step towards filling a pretty important knowledge gap. According to the authors, not much is known about the relationship between avocado intake and cardiovascular disease risk, including coronary heart disease and strokes. Lorena says this is the first large study of its kind.
This is actually the first large prospective study to examine and generate evidence on the longitudinal association between avocado consumption and cardiovascular disease events. It definitely fills an important gap in the literature, including public health implications, since it provides further evidence that the intake of a plant-sourced unsaturated fat food, can improve diet quality.
The thing that really shocked me is this study is 30 years in the making and involved over 108,000 men and women in the United States. It's not often I come across studies like that. The length gave them enough time to observe the disease and disease risk, as well as lifestyle changes and changes in intake over time. Overall, Lorena said it just provides really robust data and is a good way to provide evidence they might not see otherwise. Now, of course, I think it's important to mention that you can have too much of anything, so please don't go eating an obscene amount of avocado because of this. We're not too sure what the sweet spot is for the amount of servings, but Lorena has more detail on that.
We cannot determine the actual dosage, but it'll just depend on how many you eat. So there's no specific answer to that just of yet, at least not the way that we analyzed. And I think more of a take-home message in regards to if there's a sweet spot or not. We need to keep in mind that our international and national guidelines of total fat recommendation per day, if you have a 2,000 calorie per day diet, ranges between 20 to 35% of fat intake, right? We need to incorporate avocados into our total fat intake rather than saying, okay, maybe it is too much or not. It's more of a including it in a healthy dietary pattern, I would say.
And it's critical to recognize this is not the silver bullet for cardiovascular health.
We should remember and keep in mind that it's about a healthy dietary pattern and lifestyle. Our study is, one of, just adding to the evidence of, like I mentioned earlier, plant-based sources of fat and how we also discuss about replacing saturated fat items that we are currently consuming with avocado, or not even avocado, another plant source, maybe nuts, maybe olive oil, and improve that diet quality and improve that meeting of national guidelines of vitamins, minerals, adequate amount of healthy fats, and leading to an important component in CVD prevention, but also everything else that you consume, right? Not only the avocado or not only the fat, but other lifestyle choices. People would read it as a superfood, but it's everything else that you do as well.
For Lorena, the surprising takeaway was the ease of adding avocado to your diet and the snowball effect doing so can implement.
It's something that we can easily do and incorporate it and say, okay, I'm going to trade off my mayo for some avocado spread, in my sandwich. So you're doing something healthier that day, for lunch. And I think doing even those small steps can trigger and really boost your confidence into maybe doing another lifestyle change. Maybe I'm going to drink another glass of water, or maybe I'm going to go for a walk. That to me, I think it's more the exciting part of this. But as we stated in the paper, and I mentioned it earlier, if you don't fancy avocados, or maybe they're not in season, or they are not accessible in your neighborhood, or you don't have them year round, you can do olive oil, you can do nuts as a snack, you can do other plant oils, because we didn't see any changes in the risk, right, of CBD and CHD when we replace avocados for these foods.
Though all of this avocado talk is exciting, Lorena says there's still more research to be done, including some research on avocado intake in strokes, type 2 diabetes, and other populations of people. But we can still make healthy choices.
The big picture take-home message is you can do many things right now. So you can start by making those small substitutions in your daily diet. keep in mind that avocados can be included as a spread or as a dressing, a lovely avocado cilantro lime dressing over your salad, or as a dipping sauce with, you know, raw veggies. Like we mentioned, exchanging your mayonnaise for avocado, being even creative. And like the other day I did, instead of yogurt, I put avocado in my smoothie. It was great. In other cultures, they've used it before, but I've never tried it. And I think it's just looking at the food item and being inventive and trying new recipes for it. There's also a really good American Heart Association, I believe, recipe on using avocados in baking for like chocolate, you know, chocolate muffins. And they were really, really good. I mean, really good. I would never taste the avocado in them, but they were creamy, they were fluffy, they, you know, that it gives you that density that sometimes you want in a big good, but with all the helpful benefits, right? However, I think people should take note that, again, this is not a magic bullet in itself, and more research is needed. I think it's exciting what we've have discovered with, you know, the paper, but keep that in mind, that it's, you know, a range of people of a certain, you know, population. The risk has a confidence interval, all the things that we've discussed, and more studies are definitely needed. The effects of avocado are still in the preliminary stages. You know, there's more to come, just more to come.
Just like that, we've reached the end of my final Food Fix episode. As always, if you'd like to learn more about today's topic, the study is linked in the episode description. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day, and I hope I enjoy putting avocado in my smoothie like Lorena recommended. This is typically the part where I say we release a new episode every Tuesday at 5 a.m., but the Food Fix is going to be on a bit of a break while we work on transitioning to the next host. I'm sure they will keep you updated on when you can join them right back here for the next episode if you're interested in hearing more. Until then, you can follow us and reach out on Facebook and Twitter at MSU Food Fix to join in on the conversation. And if you're looking for other ways to support the pod, the Food Fix is now available on many of your favorite podcast platforms like Spotify and Apple Podcasts. We have well over 100 episodes available for you to stream, so you can get your fill while we take a posting break. And with all that said, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. More than that, whether you are tuning in for the very first time, have listened to every episode I've produced, or somewhere in between, thank you so much for supporting me and my work. This project has brought me a great deal of joy. Podcasting is my passion, and it's been an honor to have the chance to create content for you to enjoy with information I think is so extremely important. And finally, thank you to everyone at the Knight Center who played a role in making this possible, for believing in me and helping me improve along the way. The lessons I learned here will be with me for the rest of my time in audio. This podcast is brought to you by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism, and I've been your host, Taylor Holterman. You've been listening to The Food Fix.